Welcome, everyone, and thank you for standing by. At this time, all participants have been placed in a listen-only mode until the question-and-answer portion of today's conference. At that time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star one on your touch-tone phone. Today's conference is being recorded. If you have any objections, you may disconnect at this time. I'll now turn the conference over to Ms. Karla Gagnon. Thank you, and you may begin.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Karla. Thank you for joining our call on how to develop a program logic model. So today's call focuses on how to develop a program logic model, but also how to use a logic model in ways that will be valuable to your program. We want the information that we're presenting today to do more than just help you create a logic model in order to satisfy a compliance requirement. We want it to also be useful to you in developing and using a logic model for your daily program operations, including your performance measurement and program evaluation activities. And I do want to say as we begin, that this is the same logic model course that we offered by webinar back in the summer. I think it was in July. And we also offered it at the Grantee Symposium. So just in case you're on the call and thinking that this is going to be some new content, if you have had this content before, we welcome your continued participation. But if you've already heard this webinar, we just want to make sure that you know at the beginning that this isn't anything new. It's the same material that we presented in July and September. Oh, well, and I, hold on one second. I was able to advance my slides a moment ago, and now I, here we go. A little bit of technical difficulty to start us off. So the learning objectives for today's presentation are to know what a logic model is and how it can be useful to your daily program operations, to identify the key components of a logic model, and to understand how to use a logic model for evaluation planning. We'll start with a short review of the concept of a theory of change. So a program's theory of change typically has three basic components, and so that would be the problem, the intervention, and the outcome. So the problem is the negative condition that exists in the community. The intervention are the activities that are designed to address the problem. So these would be, for an AmeriCorps program, typically the activities of AmeriCorps members or volunteers who are recruited by AmeriCorps members. And the intervention is really the key leverage point in the theory of change. The decisions that a program makes about what intervention it will deliver at what specific dosage, that's critical in terms of how we bridge the problem and the outcomes. So we have a problem, we develop a specific set of activities that we believe will help to solve the problem. And if we implement those activities, then the theory is that we will see some changes in knowledge, attitude, behavior, or condition of the beneficiaries that we are serving. So those are the basic components, and inherent in that idea is the idea of cause and effect. So the idea that if we deliver the interventions, the activities that we planned, then the effect of those activities will be specific changes in knowledge, attitude, behavior, or condition. So there's a cause and effect relationship between the intervention and the outcome. Another thing to understand about the theory of change is that it articulates assumptions about why the intervention is likely to lead to the outcomes, and it should be based on evidence or a strong hypothesis of how and why the change will occur. So sometimes if you're developing a new intervention, you may not have evidence necessarily, you may not have studied the intervention before, but you have a hypothesis about why that particular activity or set of activities is going to be effective in solving the problem. This is an example of a theory of change for a nutrition assistance program, and we'll follow this example throughout the presentation today. So in this case, we see that the problem is there are too many low-income families in the community who don't understand the relationship between nutrition and health. And as a result of that lack of understanding, they are suffering negative health consequences. The intervention that is proposed is a combination of nutrition education and referrals to community service. So underlying that choice of intervention, again, is perhaps some research about what works. With regard to lack of awareness about nutrition and health, there are some assumptions about why this particular set of activities will be effective in addressing the problem. And then the intended outcome is improvement in families' overall health. So that's a simple, basic theory of change for a nutrition program And as I said, we'll follow that example as we continue through the presentation. Now we're going to talk a little bit more about what exactly is a logic model. A logic model is a more detailed visual representation of a program's theory of change. Logic models communicate how a program works by showing the intended relationships among the resources that are available to operate the program, known as inputs, the activities the program carries out, also known as interventions, the changes or results the program hopes to achieve, and those are referred to as outputs and outcomes. So we'll talk about each of these components in more detail as we go. It's important to understand that logic models can vary in terms of form and level of detail. They can range from simple to complex. There's no one right way to develop a logic model. It depends on your purpose, how you intend to use the logic model, who will be using the logic model, and what your program entails and what the program design is. So the components outlined on this slide reflect a very simple logic model design that aligns with CNCS's logic model guidelines. So for this presentation, we'll use this format, but I want to just sort of be clear that our template isn't necessarily the best fit for every program. It's simply the template that we chose. So there are lots of different ways to do a logic model, and I highly recommend that before you focus on fitting your program's logic into the boxes that CNCS has selected, I encourage you to actually just map the logic of your program in a way that makes sense to you. And then once you've actually gone through that exercise to really understand what your program's theory of change is and how all of those different pieces connect and fit together and where is the cause and effect logic in that chain, then you'll be able to fit your program's logic into anybody's boxes, CNCS's boxes, other funders' boxes, other boxes that you may be interested in fitting into. And I also want to say in particular, one of the things that trips people up about the CNCS logic model is the way that we define short, medium, and long-term outcomes. So in the CNCS logic model, we are defining those not in terms necessarily of the time that it takes to achieve the outcomes, which is a very common way of defining those and is something that you would see maybe in other agencies' logic models. Would be, you know, short-term outcomes occur in a specified period of time, medium-term outcomes occur later, longer-term outcomes occur after that. We define those different types of outcomes very specifically in terms of the types of changes that happen. So a short-term outcome would be a change in knowledge or attitude. A medium-term outcome would be a change in behavior, and a long-term outcome would be a change in condition. So that is something that sometimes people get a little bit tripped up on. And again, I think the most important thing is simply to think through what the outcomes of your program are, and then later on, if you are a CNCS grantee or applicant, you can then figure out which boxes are most appropriate for your outcomes, but it's important to know what is that chain of outcomes that your program is specifically working toward, and then you can put them in the boxes later based on the definitions that we've provided. Why develop a logic model? Logic models can be used to ensure that stakeholders have a clear and shared understanding of how a program is intended to work. For example, you could share a logic model with the program staff to help them develop a sense of collective responsibility and accountability to understand specifically where their work fits into the overall logic of the program. Funders might require a logic model to include in your proposal or application. Logic models can also be used to support program planning and improvement efforts. For example, it could be a program management tool that helps you determine how to allocate resources effectively, as well as serving as a framework to monitor whether or not the program is being implemented according to plan. And lastly, on this slide, logic models can serve as a foundation for evaluation. Logic models can be especially helpful during the planning stages of an evaluation, by helping programs determine when and what to evaluate so that evaluation resources are used efficiently and effectively. And we'll talk more about that as we go through the presentation. So back to the key components of a logic model. As you saw on an earlier slide, there are four key components of a logic model that describe your planned work and your intended results. And so it's important to sort of differentiate those two pieces, planned work, what you're going to do, and then the intended results, what is actually going to change for beneficiaries as the result of what you do. These four components are inputs or resources, activities, also known as interventions in AmeriCorps, outputs, and outcomes. And outcomes can be short, medium, or long term. We'll talk through each of these on the next several slides. Starting on the far left side of your logic model, we have inputs, also sometimes called resources. Inputs or resources are essential for a program's activities to occur. These might be any combination of human, financial, organizational, or community-based resources that are available to a program in order to carry out the program's activities. So some examples of inputs or resources related to the nutrition assistance program might be funding, could be an AmeriCorps grant, could be other community-based grants or other grants, program staff, AmeriCorps members, volunteers, and nutrition assistance research, research that supports the assumptions of the theory of change and that supports the choice of activities or interventions. From inputs, we move to the activities components. Activities are the specific actions that make up your program or intervention. They reflect processes, tools, events, and other actions that are used to bring about your program's desired changes or results. So in the nutrition assistance example, some different activities would be workshops on healthy food options, food preparation counseling, and referrals to food programs and resources. From activities, we move to outputs. The outputs component of a logic model are what a program's specific activities will create or produce, providing evidence of service activity. So these are typically some sort of unit of service or some sort of deliverable or product that is developed or delivered as a result of the intervention. Outputs tend to be the things that are kind of easy to count and quantify. So things like in the nutrition assistance example, the number of individuals who attended a healthy food workshop, the number of individuals who received food preparation counseling or services, the number of individuals who received a referral to food programs and resources. So in all of those cases, beneficiaries received some type of service. There's no implication here that anything changed in the lives of beneficiaries because they received the services. Outputs here are merely just counting what are the services that these beneficiaries received. And so then when we move to outcomes, that's where we start to look at whether there has been any change in the beneficiaries as a result of the activities and the outputs. Outcomes, as I said, are the specific changes that may result from a program's activities or intervention. A program's outcomes fall along a continuum ranging from short to long term. Short-term outcomes, by CNCS's definition, would be changes in beneficiaries' knowledge, skills, or attitudes. Medium-term outcomes would be changes in behavior or action that result from the beneficiaries' knowledge, skills, or attitudes. And then long-term outcomes would be changes in condition or status in life that result from, in some cases, those new behaviors or actions. In the nutrition assistance example, a short-term outcome could be increasing knowledge of healthy choices. A medium-term outcome could be adoption of healthy food practices. And a long-term outcome could be food security, so a change in the overall condition of the family's food security as a result of putting some of these behavioral changes into place. It's important to understand, again, that describing outcomes as short, medium, or long term depends on the objective. It depends on the length of the program and the expectations of the program or intervention. So what one program defines as a long-term outcome, if we're speaking especially in terms of time as opposed to the type of change, what one program identifies as a long-term outcome could be a medium-term outcome for another. Your logic model should reflect your program's theory of change and the sequence of changes necessary to accomplish your program's long-term results. Some programs, even though we say that changes in condition are long-term outcomes, some programs, depending on the program design, may focus specifically on shorter-term changes in condition. And so, again, the boxes, you may be in the long-term outcome box, but that might be something that you would expect to see change during the life of your AmeriCorps grant. So now we'll take a moment to highlight the differences between outputs and outcomes, as these two components are often confused with each other. On the left side of this slide, you can see that program outputs are direct products of a program's activities or services. Outputs quantify the services that were delivered, whereas outcomes quantify the changes a program intends to bring about as a result of a program's activities or intervention. While outputs are the essential elements that enable change, they don't necessarily represent benefits or changes in and of themselves. So I'm going to stop here for a moment and see if there are any questions before we move on. And Barbara is monitoring the chat. And I will also just take a quick look to see if there are any questions that have come in.
Yeah, hey, Carla, can you hear me? It's Barbara.
Yep.
Yep, I've been keeping an eye on the chat, and I don't have anything other than the couple questions about the audio, just making sure people were on the phone.
Okay.
There were a couple of questions about when these slides or when this the call replay would be available. So I did chat that individually to folks, but just while we have everyone, we will send all of this out within the next couple weeks, if not sooner. But yes, we absolutely will send out the recording as well as a copy of the material.
Okay, great. And operator, could we just open the line and see if there are any questions from the voice line as opposed to the chat?
I think that was David. Is that right?
David, are you there?
I'm sorry. I apologize. If you'd like to ask a question, please press star 1, and when prompted, record your first and last name. Again, that's star 1 to ask a question, and please record your name when prompted. One moment, please. All right, looks like there are no questions queuing at the moment.
Okay, then we will move on. And now my slides are stuck again. There we go. So next we'll talk about how to read a logic model. So at this point you are familiar with what a logic model is and its key components, and so now we'll talk about how to read the logic model. Logic models are typically read from left to right, employing an if-then sequence among the key components. So a generic example is shown here, and if we read it from left to right, we can see the little if-then logic chain between each of the different components. So we might say, if your program has these inputs or resources, then it can carry out these activities. If your program carries out these activities, then it can produce these outputs. If your program has produced these outputs, then it will achieve these outcomes. So that's the if-then way of reading a logic model from left to right, and it follows, again, that cause and effect chain from link to link. It's also important to understand that a logic model has two sides. So the process side, which you see here on the left, focuses on a program's implementation or its planned work. So the inputs, the resources, the activities, and the outputs, the direct products of those activities, are on the planned work side or the implementation side. The outcome side of the logic model describes the expected sequence of changes that the program intends to accomplish. And these could be short-term, medium-term, or long-term changes. The outcome side reflects the difference the program intends to make, again, those changes in knowledge, attitude, behavior, or condition. Two main approaches are used to create a logic model. So we talked about reading a logic model from left to right. When you create a logic model, you can either create it from left to right using forward logic and those if-then statements, but you can also create it from right to left using sort of a backward logic starting with but how questions. And so we're going to walk through how both of these ways work. So talking about reverse logic, when you use reverse logic, you're creating the logic model by working backwards. So you start with the desired outcomes on the right side and move backward to identify the program's activities and inputs on the left side of the model. This reverse logic approach is often used in the development or planning stages of a program because it ensures that the program activities will logically lead to the specified outcomes. So using a reverse logic approach, you will ask the question, but how, as you move from right to left in the logic model. And we'll go through the nutrition example in a minute, showing how this logic works. And then the forward logic approach starts with your program's inputs and activities and uses a progressive series of if-then statements to establish the relationships between inputs, activities, outputs, and outcomes. This forward logic approach is used when there is a clear understanding of what the inputs or activities are. So, for instance, a program that's in the implementation stage already might be thinking through more clearly what are the expected outcomes of what they're already implementing. Regardless of which approach you take, working out the sequence, either the if-then relationships or the how relationships, enable a program to uncover gaps in logic, clarify assumptions, and better understand how investments and a program's activities are likely to produce the intended results and outcomes. So here's the forward logic approach again. So we'll walk through this, and then we'll walk through the backward logic approach. So again, the forward logic uses if-then statements. It moves from the left side, resources, inputs, and progressively builds the links as we move across to the outcome side. In the nutrition assistance program example, the forward logic approach would be, if we have access to AmeriCorps members, then we can provide food education workshops and referral services. If we carry out these activities, then we will deliver service to 200 families. So there's your output of 200 families. If families receive these services, then they will learn about healthy food choices and improve their skills in preparing healthy foods. So there are your changes in knowledge. If families gain this knowledge and acquire these skills, then they will adopt healthy food practices, change in behavior. If families adopt healthy food practices, then they will be healthier, change in condition. So that's how we would do this for the nutrition assistance program. So now using the reverse logic approach, this approach starts with the desired outcomes and requires you to work backwards to develop activities and inputs. So reverse logic asks the question, but how, as you move from desired outcomes to identifying the inputs that lead to these outputs in your logic model. So in the nutrition assistance program example, we begin with what is the desired long-term outcome? To increase the number of healthy families. But how are we going to do that? So the desired intermediate outcome is to increase the number of families using healthy food practices. But how are we going to do that? We're going to help individuals gain knowledge of healthy food choices. But how? We're going to deliver 200 educational workshops. 200 families will complete the workshops. What activities are needed to achieve these outcomes? 4 educational workshops per month. But how? And so then we're back to the inputs. What are the resources that we need? And those would be funding, program staff, AmeriCorps members, volunteers, and research. This is an example logic model for a wildlife conservation program. And so we wanted to share another example from a different focus area. And one of the focus areas I think that tends to have some challenges with regard to how to fit some of their outcomes into our logic models are the environmental stewardship program. So we chose this environmental stewardship example, and we just want to walk through it now. So we have inputs that look very familiar. We have the funding, the staff, 200 AmeriCorps members, 200 additional volunteers that were recruited by AmeriCorps members. We have training for the members, and we have research about the particular interventions that the program is proposing. The activities are conducting habitat development projects and conducting invasive species removal. So the outputs are to install ramps and handrails on a certain number of miles of trail, to plant native trees and other native species at a certain number of sites, and to remove invasive plant species on a certain number of sites. And so if we produce all of these different outputs, then the changes that we first expect to see are increase in food and clean water supply for native wildlife and an increase in shelter for native wildlife. If we are able then to accomplish those outcomes, then we expect as a result of that to see increases in native wildlife population sizes and increases in biodiversity. And finally, over the long term, if we're able to achieve these medium-term outcomes, then what we expect to see are enhanced conservation of healthy, productive, sustainable ecosystems for the benefit of wildlife. And what I want to say about this particular example is that if you look at all of the different outcomes that are included in this logic model, I would consider them all to be changes in condition. So this is a case where this particular program has taken more of a chronological approach to completing their logic model. So all of these are changes in condition, but they have chosen to kind of show the chain between, you know, time-bound outcomes, so shorter-term outcomes that are actually require a shorter period of time to achieve, medium-term outcomes that follow the short-term outcomes, and long-term outcomes that then are the longer-term changes in condition. So again, I want to emphasize the importance of actually mapping the logic of your program so that you can really see the if-then sequence and in a way that makes sense for your program. And if it happens, you know, that you send your logic model to CNCS and you happen to have a change in condition in the short-term column, even though we have said that's where you put your changes in knowledge, skill, attitude, or opinion, that is less important than the fact that your logic model is understandable and can be read logically from left to right. We're able to see and understand the leaps of logic that you are making between the various outcomes. So I just wanted to put that out there and share that and just also give an example of a program that is measuring primarily, and in fact, in this case, all changes in condition. Now we'll talk about performance measurement and program evaluation and how your logic model can be used to help you with both of those things. While both performance measurement and program evaluation are considered measurement activities, the two activities serve very different purposes. And just like earlier we talked about the difference between outputs and outcomes, and that's a common area of confusion, the difference between performance measurement and program evaluation is also a common area of confusion. I often hear people using those terms interchangeably, and they are not the same thing, and it's really important to understand the differences between the two. So, if you're a grantee or a subgrantee, then you already know what performance measurement is because it's an activity that you are already doing in your program. So performance measurement is the ongoing monitoring and reporting of program accomplishments and progress toward pre-established goals. For most programs, this would include collecting data on both outputs and outcomes, and performance measurement data helps you understand the level of performance achieved by your program or intervention. Program evaluation, on the other hand, is an in-depth research activity that answers specific questions or tests hypotheses about program processes or program outcomes. The results enable you to arrive at a judgment of whether the intervention or a specific component of the intervention works or doesn't work as expected, and also what adjustments may need to be made to improve the program. A key difference between performance measurement and program evaluation is that program evaluation helps you understand and explain why you're seeing the results that you're seeing. So in performance measurement, you may measure your program outcomes, but in program evaluation, you're looking at how and why your program is actually achieving those outcomes. It's important to keep in mind that performance measurement and program evaluation are not mutually exclusive. Grantees that are already engaging in performance measurement activities can build on that work as they plan for program evaluation. For example, if your program is already collecting data on your program's outcomes, then your program might decide to conduct an impact evaluation to learn whether your progress on outcomes is actually caused by your intervention. And if that were the case, then you would look at forming a comparison group, and having a comparison group and doing an evaluation with a comparison group would enable you to answer specific questions related to cause and effect. So in this case, what would have happened to people if they didn't receive the intervention, and whether the observed changes in terms of outcomes are actually attributable to your program's intervention or to something else entirely. We have a lot more information on the Knowledge Network about performance measurement and evaluation and the differences between the two. And at the end of the presentation, we'll share a couple of links with you to pages that you can go to that have additional resources about both of these concepts. Now that we've covered the difference between performance measurement and evaluation, we'll talk about what performance measurement, how logic models can be used as a tool in performance measurement. A few examples of how logic models can help you plan your performance measurement activities include identifying which components of your program, so it could be resources, activities, outputs, or outcomes, to include in your performance measurement, and identifying indicators and measures of progress or performance that align with program components. Just as your logic model can help inform your performance measurement activities, it can also help you plan for an evaluation, and that's what we'll talk about next. As an evaluation tool, your logic model can help you plan for your evaluation. It can serve as a framework for your evaluation plan by helping you make informed decisions about what to evaluate, when to evaluate, and how to evaluate. It's important to note that with program evaluation, it's not necessary to evaluate every aspect of your program as depicted in your logic model. This is really important. It's a common misconception. I think sometimes people are afraid that if they put something in their logic model, then that means automatically they will be required to measure it. And that's not the case. The logic model is a conceptual tool. It helps you map out the logic of your program. And then as a program, you decide what are the questions that are most important to you to answer about your program to either demonstrate effectiveness or look at ways that you can improve your program design. And so you don't have to measure everything that's in the logic model. Your evaluation could have a narrow focus, so it might focus only on questions about one of your program's service activities and outcomes. It could have a broader focus, so it might address questions about all of your program services and outcomes if you have multiple activities and outcomes. And it all depends on the information that you want to gain from your evaluation. So again, the focus here being on how you can use evaluation to strengthen your program. Your logic model can be used as a tool to help you focus your evaluation with respect to the following: identifying questions that you want or need to have answered about your program, identifying which aspects of your program to evaluate, so will you evaluate a subset or all of your AmeriCorps activities, will you evaluate your program's short-term outcomes or medium-term outcomes, which outcomes are you most interested in learning about, determining the appropriate evaluation design, so will you use a process evaluation or an impact evaluation design or a combination, identifying what information to collect, identifying measures and data collection methods, and determining an appropriate time frame for your evaluation. Now we'll walk through some examples of how you would actually use your logic model to focus your evaluation. We'll start with an example of how a logic model can be used to help you draft or narrow in on the questions that you want your evaluation to answer. The graphic that you're seeing now provides an example of the types of questions that may be asked of each component in a logic model. So all of these different questions could be research questions in an evaluation, depending on what you hope to learn and depending on how you want to focus your evaluation. So questions related to inputs ask, are resources adequate to implement the program? Questions related to activities ask, are activities delivered as intended? Questions related to outputs ask, how many or how much was produced? And questions related to outcomes ask, what changes occurred as a result of the program? As you can see at the bottom of this graphic, in order to answer each of these questions, indicators, so the evidence or information that represents the phenomenon in question, and their data sources would be identified later. But when you're developing your research questions, what you're really wanting to do is ensure that the questions are stated in a way that are clear and measurable in order for them to be answered by your program. As you narrow in on the questions that you want to answer about your program, this will help you to determine the type of evaluation you'll need to conduct and what elements of your logic model are to be incorporated into the evaluation. As noted earlier, a logic model has two sides, a process side and an outcome side. Questions related to the process side of the logic model are generally different than questions related to the outcome side of the model, and therefore they require different evaluation approaches to address them. In the Nutrition Assistance Program, program staff may have some interest in answering the question, was the Nutrition Assistance Program implemented as planned? And if not, how and why was it altered for implementation? So here we're looking at the process side of the logic model. These questions concern the key components of the left side, the process side, and so the type of evaluation that is needed to answer these questions would be a process evaluation. This means that the data that is collected will focus on understanding the relationship between the resources or inputs that were employed and what activities were accomplished with these resources. Process evaluations tend to be more useful in the beginning stages of a program's implementation to help determine whether target populations are being reached, whether people are receiving the intended services, and if staff are adequately qualified, among other things. For example, let's say that the process evaluation data show that the nutrition and food preparation counseling was only implemented in a few sites rather than across all sites as planned because of staffing constraints, then the program staff would look at those findings and perhaps make some adjustments to the program, possibly deploying more staffing resources to the sites that were unable to deliver the nutrition preparation and counseling activity. On the other side, the outcome side, program staff might be interested in understanding whether their program or specific components of their program are effective or not. Outcomes evaluation looks at whether the outcomes were met or sustained, and then impact evaluation is looking to answer questions about effectiveness and understanding whether the program was able to produce all or a subset of the desired outcomes specified on the right side of the logic model. So in the hypothetical nutrition assistance program, if the program staff are interested in finding out what different nutrition assistance program has had on individuals' knowledge or attitudes about healthy food choices, they might choose an impact evaluation design that includes a comparison or a control group. And so using a comparison or control group, they could determine what would have happened to people if they did not receive the intervention. In general, an impact evaluation assesses the extent to which a program achieves its desired outcomes and whether those outcomes can be attributed to the program. This type of evaluation typically occurs after a program has reached a steady state of implementation. So maybe they've already conducted a process evaluation that shows the program is being implemented as designed. They might have also collected some outcome data as part of their performance measurement efforts or through a non-experimental outcome evaluation that doesn't necessarily have a comparison or control group that is beginning to look at changes in outcomes over time. For the Nutrition Assistance Program, several short and medium-term outcomes have been identified for an evaluation. These are the outcomes that are highlighted in red on this slide. Depending on the particular intervention, a different Nutrition Assistance Program might determine other outcomes that would be more appropriate for their evaluation. So again, it depends on the program model, and it depends on the research questions that the program is interested in answering. What does the program actually need to know to strengthen its program? It's important, again, to note that programs conducting an impact evaluation do not need to evaluate all of the program outcomes at one time or even over a period of time. In deciding which outcomes to include, the program should consider what questions the evaluation seeks to answer and the time frame of the evaluation and outcome measures. A program's influence is most directly related to proximal outcomes, so outcomes that occur within a closer period of time following the delivery of the intervention. So in terms of time, they might be short-term or medium-term outcomes. And then the further out that you go on the logic model, the more external variables come into play that are beyond the program's control. So it becomes more and more difficult to attribute some of those long-term outcomes directly to the program intervention. And CNCS does not necessarily expect that programs would measure long-term outcomes in all cases. Some things to remember. As we said at the beginning, there is no one best logic model. So developing a logic model is not something that you would complete by yourself in one session. And it's not something where you have to follow one specific template. It's really a process of sitting down with your program stakeholders and really thinking through the logic of your program from those inputs and resources to the specific activities that are designed to address a community problem, and then to the results of those activities and those outcomes, changes in knowledge, attitude, behavior, or condition. Logic models represent intention. This is a really important concept, and we didn't talk about it that much in the presentation, but I want to highlight it now. So it's important to underscore that logic models reflect planned activities and outcomes, and they should be supported by an underlying theory of change. But in practice, programs may not only operate differently, but they also may produce unintended results. So an evaluation helps identify how faithfully a program adheres to its model. And that's important because if you have a great theory of change, but you're not actually implementing the activities that are part of the theory of change in the way that you intended, you may not see the outcomes that you want to see, or you may have unintended outcomes. And likewise, you know, as you develop your program, you know, things change in your program. So you may have started out with a particular set of inputs and resources, and then suddenly you may find that you have a sudden influx of resources, or you lose some program resources, and that may then limit the activities that you could do with your program. So logic models, again, are conceptual tools, but the actual implementation of the program may cause you to kind of deviate from that initial plan. So just in the same way that your program budget is a plan, we understand that your logic model is also a plan, and you can change your logic model over time as your program changes and develops. We also talked again about the fact that programs do not need to evaluate every aspect of the logic model, and that logic models play a critical role in informing evaluation and building the evidence base for a program. These are some resources that are available for logic model development. These were compiled by the staff in our research and evaluation office and our evaluation contractor, NORC. So here are some resources that are available. This information is all available on our website. And the last set of links that I'll draw your attention to are the specific CNCS resources that we've developed. So we have a landing page for evaluation. And so this evaluation AmeriCorps page is where you can go for all of these slides. We have developed an evaluation core curriculum that consists of several evaluation courses. Those slides are all available on the website. We will be delivering most of those courses over the course of the next 5 or 6 months as webinars, but those slides are always available to you. And as we conduct the webinars, we will also post the recordings of the webinars online so that you can have the slides, you can have the webinars, and there are additional training resources on there as well. And then the companion to that on the performance measurement side is the performance measurement core curriculum. And for the core curriculum, we actually have online learning modules, so you can go online and listen to some short courses that cover the basic topics in performance measurement. Okay, so now we will see if we have any questions. David, if you could open up the line, and we'll see also if we have any questions that have come in through chat.
Once again, at this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone. Please unmute your phone and record your name clearly when prompted. If at any time you wish to withdraw yourself, you may press star 2. Once again, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. As a reminder, please press star 1 if you would like to ask a question. Your first question comes from Jessica Simonson. The line is open.
Hi, Carla. Thanks so much for all this great information. It's really very, very helpful. But I have a quick question. If you could explain a little bit about how the outputs and outcomes align with the national performance measures. So knowing that we have kind of a list of performance measures that we could be picking from, are those supposed to be the same as what is going into our logic model as our outputs and outcomes?
So That's a great question. We have addressed it actually recently in the NOFO FAQs. So what we are mostly interested in is that programs have a coherent and logical theory of change. And so, again, the process of developing that theory of change should be a way for your organization to really get a solid conceptualization of the logic that informs your program. And so it's important first to just start by mapping that logic, do a logic model that makes sense for your program, and as you're thinking through what your outcomes are and what are the changes that you expect to see in knowledge, attitude, behavior, or condition, then you begin to start thinking about, you know, what are the indicators that you would use to measure those changes. And some of those things might be performance measures. So some of the outputs that you identify in your logic model might end up being outputs that align closely with the national performance measures. And so you may choose to measure those. You may also have outputs that don't align closely with the national performance measures, but that you think are important to your program. And you may also decide to measure those. And then likewise, with regard to outcomes, perhaps your outcomes are closely aligned with the national performance measures, and perhaps they're not. The most important piece, as we said, you know, both in the NOFO and in the FAQ that we recently drafted, the most important thing is that you have a clear theory of change and that whatever outcomes and outputs you're measuring are clearly aligned to your program's theory of change. If your outcomes happen to be clearly aligned to the national performance measures or your outputs are, then we want you to use those measures. But if your program design is not an appropriate fit for those performance measures, then we don't want you to select them simply because they are available to you.
But if they do align well, I guess what I should ask is, so let's say we have a couple items that we want to measure, but they're not national performance measurements. When we do our APR or GPR, are we then creating additional performance measurements to add them on? Or is this, like, when you talk about measuring them, mm-hmm. where are you talking about reporting them out to? Is this all within the context of our reporting back to AmeriCorps?
So I think universally programs measure outputs and outcomes that are not necessarily of strong interest
right.
to us. I think programs in particular measure a lot of outputs that aren't necessarily aligned with outcomes.
Mm-hmm.
And so historically, you know, we have said we are not interested in having programs report to us a lot of extra outputs that don't necessarily connect to the outcomes of their theory of change.
Right.
So you don't have to report to us everything that you measure,
but if
you don't have to measure everything that's in your logic model. So it's a programmatic decision
okay.
in terms of what you would choose to measure and report with respect to your AmeriCorps grant, as opposed to with respect for your program as a whole. And so that's really a programmatic decision okay. on your part.
Terrific. Thank you so much.
Now at this time, we have no further questions.
Okay. Let's check one more time to see if anything came in through chat.
Hey, Carla, it's Barbara. There was nothing. There were just, again, more questions about links to these resources on the chat, which you provided at the end.
Yes.
So no other content questions at this point in the chat box.
Okay. Still no questions, David?
That's correct. No questions.
Okay, great. Then we will end for today. And again, please do check our website for these resources as well as lots of other resources related to performance measurement and evaluation. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you, Carla.
Ladies and gentlemen, this does conclude today's conference. All parties may disconnect at this time.